Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Nikki Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Today, I'm lucky to have David Pauly. Am I saying that correct, David Pauly?
You are, Pauly.
Let me
do that
again.
We're one of the first people who has ever gotten it right.
Wow. Okay. Good. Then, David, I know you're a local consultant, and can you tell us a little more about what you do?
Sure, Mickey. Basically what I've been doing for most of my career is turning around organizations, both for-profit and not-for-profit. In the last 9 years, I've been working with nonprofits that have either needed to turn around and become successful, or who have stagnated and needed to jumpstart their effectiveness. And I've done that both as a officer and CEO and executive director of nonprofits, but also as a consultant, helping them, from outside.
Yeah. My first question is, you know, around the issue of a nonprofit that has stagnated, a nonprofit that knows it needs to get out of stagnation is one thing, but my experience has been perhaps that a nonprofit that has stagnated may not have the resources to hire a consultant to help them get out of that rut. Is that not a fair assessment?
You know, I think it depends on the nonprofit. You know, so many, it's like, I go back to 12-step theory. The first step of getting better is acknowledging you have a problem. The way you work with a consultant, it depends on the consultant. I think most people think of hiring a consultant like, oh, I need to go to PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I'm going to have them in my business for the rest of my life, and it's going to be a $75,000 to $100,000 a year expense. There are consultants, that do things for, as little as under $10,000. The starting point with a consultant is really to have the conversation with the consultant. Most of us don't charge anything for the first consultation, and can help you, think through what you can and can't do.
Right. No, I think that's true. And I think that's absolutely the truth with regard to 12-step modality. And the first step to fixing a problem is to admit you have it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. In the notes that you sent to me, I like one of the premises you put forth, which was that many nonprofits undervalue the strategic planning process as a management tool. Can we talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think the best nonprofits use a strategic plan as the basis for every important conversation, decision, and especially their conversations and discussions with their boards and with their donors. The expert on the operation of the nonprofit is the leader and the senior staff of that nonprofit. A strategic plan is like a roadmap, or I love boats. I grew up on boats, and if you want to sail from point A to point B, you got to have some idea on a chart of where you are and how you're going to get to point B. And what that does is it gives you a starting point, a plan. You have to compensate for winds and currents and weather conditions. That's the same thing a strategic plan does. It says, I am here. I'm going there. This is my plan to get there. And because you've got that plan, you're better equipped to cope with things unplanned. Could be wind, could be strategic changes, could be COVID-19.
Okay. There's a lot there I want to unpack, but I'm also really just tempted to move on with our loosely defined agenda here. So the strategic plan becomes the basis of every important conversation and decision for a nonprofit. You said something which I thought was probably one of the wisest things I've ever heard, which is the biggest value of a strategic plan is that it empowers you to say no.
Absolutely. One of the things, I spent the vast majority of my for-profit career in aviation. And I will tell you, no one gets into aviation because it's the smart thing to do. You get into aviation because it's sexy and fun.
Right.
No one gets into nonprofit because they're cynical or pessimistic. You get into nonprofit or you become involved with a nonprofit as a board, as a donor, because you're optimistic, because the mission speaks to you, because there is great opportunity and great ideas. And you know, organizations, you know, especially in nonprofits, there are no shortage of good ideas. There's also no shortage of bad ideas. There's just a lot of ideas coming at you. And in any corporation, for-profit or not-for-profit, the strategic plan empowers you to say no. It basically, it allows the leader of the organization to, when someone comes to them and says, hey, you know, let's convert the organization's mission from a healthcare mission to a real estate investment trust. That's a pretty big scope change. And there may be logical reasons that that donor, that board member has to do it. But if the board and the ED have bought off on the strategic plan, it gives a framework to say, now, right now, we're going in this direction. The next time we're going to look at changing directions is 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, in nonprofit, especially dealing with donors, you've got to be kind, you've got to be polite, but you've also got to learn how to say no. And the strategic plan is one of the things that empowers you to do that.
So I have to ask, you've mentioned boats, you've mentioned planes. Is cars somewhere else in our conversation today?
Yeah. So as we talk, I am staring out the window of my study at my 2008 Jeep Wrangler, which is the latest in a long line of midlife crisis cars.
That's fantastic. Some of our listeners may know that I do another podcast called The Thing About Cars, and I have a lot of fun with that, trying to figure out how to turn that into a video production or maybe even a TV show. But that's a story for another day.
I want to be invited on that podcast.
Oh yeah, you should definitely come on. That would be great. Let's talk about that when we're done talking about strategic planning. So another premise that you've put forth is the idea that a strategic plan is not how you solve a crisis. And this sort of flies in the face of something that I've been saying to nonprofits. And maybe I'm using the wrong vocabulary to do this, but there are nonprofits who need to plan their way out of pandemic, or you know, make some sort of navigational chart that helps them to do the very cliche term now, pivot. To manage their pivot, to make sure they right the ship and keep it on course to get to the other side of pandemic. Is that not a strategic plan?
It depends on the situation for the corporation. Your terminology is correct. Before we go into a crisis pivot, let's talk about just the value of a strategic plan. Most organizations do look at a strategic plan as a fundraising document. It's something I've got to do to show the funders or the foundations, and the rest of the time it just sits in the bookcase collecting dust. The value of a strategic plan, first of all, is that it helps you not solve a crisis. Instead, it helps you plan to how to prevent one from happening in the first place. Because the process of building a strategic plan forces you to know and understand your business and what I like to refer to as the levers. So continuing on our transportation modalities, you know, when you operate any type of vehicle, you're manipulating many levers, whether it's the yoke on the airplane, the throttle, the brake, the engine power. To pivot in a crisis, you know, you don't want to be learning how to drive the vehicle at the crisis moment. You want to learn it ahead of time. Now, to your point, many organizations find themselves in a crisis right now or about to enter a crisis. What I find is organizations, many of them are in one of two modes. They are in absolute denial that they have to change their strategic plan. We just spent all this money with the consultant developing a strategic plan. We're fine. I don't think that's legitimate. Mm-hmm. Or they are absolutely panic-stricken and don't know how to pivot from it. You know, if an organization is burning the furniture to survive, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they should distract themselves with the strategic plan. Right now, many organizations are not in that boat, especially if they were able to get payroll protection plan funding for the organization I just led. You know, that essentially covered all of our expenses for 3 months. That gave us the window to say, okay, this is how we tweak our plan to operate as we figure out the new normal. So the process and discipline of strategic planning, absolutely, you're absolutely right, is what is needed in order to solve the problem or help them pivot. If they haven't done one, you know, the speed and urgency with which they approach it is kind of unique to every organization.
Interesting. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the notion that, you know, if an organization is burning the furniture in order to stay alive, that organization still needs to do some planning, or at least radical changes and stuff like that.
Absolutely. You know, the strategic planning process doesn't have to be complex. Mm-hmm. In consulting with other nonprofits and in the four that I've led, I've developed a tool that's essentially a one-page strategic plan. You should be able to get all the elements of a strategic plan on the front and back of a single sheet of paper. Admittedly, the font may be small.
This is interesting. A strategic plan on the front and the back of one sheet of paper? I've never heard of.
And the reason I did that is because so many people want so many of their pet projects or pet things in there.
Yeah.
And the strategic plan really comes down to the core of it is how well do you understand your business and how well do you operate it? So one of the things that for the organizations that are in crisis right now, their strategic plan may only take a day or two to develop because it's survival mode. If you want to think of it this way, if your house is on fire, you don't want to spend a whole lot of time thinking about how am I going to get out of the building. Pretty much any way that gets you out of the building is the right path, as long as you get out safely. A big element of strategic planning is the environmental survey. What is in the environment that I'm in right now? So in Georgia, I did a study about a year ago, and at the time there was like 33,000 nonprofits. That's one nonprofit for about every 145 Georgians. In the for-profit world, in a crisis environment in a market, there would be no question about consolidation. Consolidation would be happening. And in a crisis like this, in the for-profit world, that's one of the first thing for-profits do. They look at where can we cut costs, where can we consolidate. That may be for a nonprofit organization in crisis, the first and best mode of operation is how do we survive and execute the mission quickly. I think what really determines the value of that is going to be the managerial and executive sophistication of the ED and of the board of directors.
Say some more about that, please.
Sure. So one of the things, I'm jumping a little around in the notes I gave you, but I think there's an anecdote that crosses over to this. There is a lot of great lessons that nonprofits need to learn from for-profits and are resistant to it. So when I crossed over the great divide from the corporate world to the nonprofit world 9 years ago, I encountered a great deal of bias against my corporate background. You know, I once even had a headhunter tell me, yes, Dave, your experience is great and almost every nonprofit could benefit from it because most of them won't, she said, but most of them won't look at you because you have no nonprofit experience. Now, worth noting, I had spent 23 years at Delta Airlines and I think we were only profitable for about 3 of them. So I beg to differ. but when I came into not-for-profit, there was skepticism of my for-profit background, and I had to prove myself. I think there are three mistakes that nonprofit boards and executives make. First of all, that nonprofit executives tend to be hired for for technical proficiency, not for executive knowledge and experience. And I've encountered that. You know, so I worked in the arts for a number of years, but I was always told I was never going to go higher than the number two position. I was never going to run a symphony because I wasn't a musician. Mm-hmm. I was never going to run a theater because I wasn't an actor or director. Whereas, you know, executive leadership is its own job. It's its own skill set. And to be honest, I needed to know enough about opera to hold my own with donors, but I didn't need to know how to direct an opera in order to run, you know, manage the organization.
Right.
The second thing that people, and this is really bad among boards, they tend to understand that nonprofit is just a tax status. It's not a license to lose money. The universal laws of gravity and economics apply equally to all. So the same discipline that goes into operating a for-profit in terms of making hard decisions about costs, ensuring that you've got more revenue coming in than going out, still have to apply to not-for-profits. And then the third thing comes back to what we're talking about with our strategic plan. You know, you've got to have the discipline to have created a vision for the future that's achievable, fairly specific, and be measuring your progress towards achieving that vision. It's kind of a windy answer, but it's actually those trio of problems helped me make money.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. David, we've run out of time for this episode, but can we circle around and do episode number two and continue this conversation?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Great. And in the meantime, if a listener wanted to get in contact with you with any questions, how would you suggest they do that?
You know, I think actually the best way to get in touch with me is I am in the process of transitioning into and joining a new organization, Our Fundraising Search, which is ourfundraisingsearch.com. You have had Linda McNay, who founded Our Fundraising Search, yep, on the show before. And I am going to be joining to help build her strategic planning process, or strategic planning practice. So actually that we should be in, you know, this may technically be my point of announcing it.
Well, good. I don't want to break the news too quickly, but yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for doing that, David. And thank you for making the time to do these recordings with me today.
Absolutely. This is fun.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite your support of our efforts via Patreon. Please find us at patreon.com/nonprofitsnapcast. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.